No.
You don't like Harry Styles?
No, it's disgusting.
You wouldn't smash?
No. Let me look at him again. I don't think I would.
You are a liar. You would definitely.
No, I find him not attractive at all.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
He looks like a little boy. I don't like boys. I like men.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
A manly ass man.
So much I used the restroom. Sorry, Will.
Yeah, what was that all about?
Sexually assaulted.
Listen,
in the bathroom.
The cleaning lady was cleaning the ladies' bathroom, and I didn't want to go all the way downstairs, so I just I used the boys.
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard someone open the door, and I just said, "Don't take out your penis."
You yelled that?
I thought it was Selena, the cleaning lady, and I was like, "Oh my god!" And I felt like I assaulted her. Like
I'm
felt
so sorry.
Bad.
I take a poop in your restroom.
I didn't even know if it was Will. I just said, "Don't take out your penis."
What if it was Keith Lawless? He was just here doing some late night work. Popped in.
I felt very uncomfortable. Let's put it that way.
I feel uncomfortable. I wasn't even there. Good Lord.
It made me sick to my stomach.
And what else are we going to do while we're in there? We have to take out our penis. That's how we pee.
Well, I don't know, like, I don't know boy protocol. Like, when you walk
boy
into the bathroom.
Boy protocol?
Listen, like, when you go to the bathroom, I imagine you assume there might be somebody else in there, but, like, it's late at night. I don't know if you guys take it out prematurely.
What, at the front door? And we just swinging around until we get to the urinal?
Oh, my goodness.
What kind of savages do you think we
are? I don't know.
In her defense, though, I usually do just drop trout all the way with butt hanging out at the stall like a little kid. That's how I make urine.
What I do is I take my pants completely off in the hallway before I get to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know, like, because you're assuming nobody else is going to be there, so I'm thinking maybe once you get in the front door, you open the door, you get in, and then you go, I'm going to just take out my penis now, and then I'm going to walk over to the
I didn't
urinal.
Used to do that, but since the pandemic started, I don't like to get my hands dirty, so I just push the door open with my ding-dong, and then I'm ready to go.
I just didn't want to see any wieners, so I just said, don't take out your penis!
How are you going to see a wiener when you're in the stall?
Well, I didn't know if you guys just let it hang out and then walk over to the stall.
Like elephants, just swinging our trunks around like idiots.
Good God. A fool.
Yeah. 727-579-1025, 800-771-1025. We need an opinion of another guy. You know what I mean? Hey, Marine Rob, what's up?
So you open the bathroom door about 2 inches. Is that correct?
What?
He's trying to say
I just plowed right in. It's
he's
a
trying
room.
To say I have a 2-inch penis because I open it with my
yes,
penis.
Yes, I am.
Oh,
I'm nice. Calling real quick.
Nice.
I'm calling real quick. And it's, JB, get your head out of your butt.
Whoa.
I'm calling for honor.
Tough talk.
Hey, Marine Rob. Honor. Hey, guess what, bitch? You called my show.
Good, okay, guess what?
Hey.
I'm calling for honor.
Well, then you better call at midnight, food. Whore.
Wait, can I say something to Anna?
You said
you
too much already.
You are a lovely person. You are,
what do you want? Make it quick.
She's not going to bang you. You're too old.
Shut up.
No.
Whoa.
Yeah, you're a really good person, and I think you're the prettiest person on the show.
On the show?
JB.
Wow. Oh, God.
Man, what
hell,
a compliment.
Man?
I'm the hottest compliment. On the show. Everybody knows that, Rob.
It's true. Rob, I got one thing to say to you, pal.
Shut the hell up, bitch. Go kill yourself. Go sit in the middle of the road and let a car run over you. You're ugly. You are disgusting. I'm going to kill you. You're an alcoholic.
You tell me to shut up on my show, man. What's up?
He was very ornery.
I think he was very
tonight.
Drunk tonight. You think
you
he's
think
very
so?
Drunk? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Is you know what I didn't like?
What?
His Marine Rob impression.
Yeah.
Wasn't good. Yours is way better.
I know. He was a bad Marine Rob tonight. It was like a whole different character.
Yeah.
You know, it took me months to nail that impression. Now I gotta figure out a way to do this fake Marine. I bet it wasn't even him.
You don't think so?
No. No.
I think it was him.
No, you know what? It was probably Cherokee.
No.
Doing
no,
a Marine
now you're
Rob.
Gonna summon him.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Now he's gonna call in.
No, don't. Oh, no. All right, he didn't. 727-579-1025, 800-771-1025. So, are you familiar with remdesivir?
I have heard of it, yes, mostly because it's hard to say.
Yeah.
Remdesivir.
I practiced it all the way here, so I could broadcast it correctly, I hope. I don't want anybody critiquing my broadcasting skills, you know what I mean? Like, I want to make sure that I'm doing my job up to par, to the standards of the listeners, every one of them. So I don't want to make sure that I'm not saying it. Remdesivir.
Yeah, right. That looks right to me. I'm looking at it right now.
Remdesivir. Yes. So it's an antiviral medication that's been under going through trials mm-hmm. for, I don't know, a couple weeks, 3 weeks. I don't know the exact amount of time, but it's been going on. I know Sarasota Memorial has been doing trials on it. So Fauci, he seemed excited about giving the news today. It was, it's neat to see like an excited Fauci. You know, he's like, I gotta talk to you. Oh, some crap's going down. Oh, you know,
I missed it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like he was sitting on the couch with Burks and stuff, and the Prez was on the other side in the love seat, and they were chilling.
Was that this morning with the Louisiana governor?
Yeah.
Okay. A little bit of that.
You mean?
John Bell. As you know, I call him John Bell, but people call him John Bell. Sort of a cool name.
What do you think we got the sounder? It's John Bell Edwards. His middle name's Bell.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, but Donald Trump calls him John Bell because it's a really cool name.
John Bell, as you know,
what
I call him John Bell, but people call him John Bell.
Damn right.
Sort of a cool name.
Goddamn cool name. So apparently Remdesivir, they did these trials where they gave people, equal parts placebo and the drug. And it looks like people that took the Remdesivir were released from the hospital 4 days sooner than the people on the placebo. So it seems to be a proven, medicine or medic, you know.
Right, it has a positive effect.
Yeah.
Significant effect in, it says you're diminishing the time to recover.
Yeah, and I was looking up a little bit on how the medication actually works. What it does is it's an antiviral, and the way it works is it confuses the COVID cells, mm-hmm. and they think they're going to reproduce their own cells, but they reproduce the cells that, you know, like these dead cells. So it slows down the spread of it inside your body.
I get you.
You sound like Trump.
I heard an interview on it, and I'm trying to articulate it, you know, as well as I can.
I know. It's one of those things where you hear it. Right.
No.
The cell. It gets it in the cell, disinfects.
It confuses the COVID cells, so they don't produce the way they're supposed to inside
your
body.
Listen, I get it. You're not a doctor, and you heard it. You know, you're listening to something, and it's hard to pair it back. I get you. But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
All that we need to know is that it's having positive effects.
Yeah. Yeah.
So get excited.
I'm not some Dr. Fat-chi.
<Nice.
laughs> You bitches.
That's good that Trump just didn't announce this, that he let Fauci do it, you know?
100%, yeah.
I think he learned his lesson.
Yeah, and I'm also glad that, people weren't jumping all over the hydroxychloroquine like, oh, well, this is going to be another hydroxychloroquine. Like, I didn't hear any of that today from either side, which is good.
It's because Fauci said it.
Right, okay. You know. So, I don't know. Look, the trials, they're doing these trials for a reason, and the FDA said they're going to approve I think by tomorrow, if they didn't do it already today after the announcement, they're going to approve people using this in hospitals to combat COVID-19 in these patients.
It says here on Wednesday, the FDA should grant Remdesivir emergency use authorization because there is no sufficient evidence that the drug would help patients recover faster. So the results are promising, but they're not conclusive is what they're saying.
And the good thing about the drug is, too, it's already an FDA-approved drug for other things. So they already know the risk factors involved. You know, it's not like some brand new drug, or it doesn't have the same side effects that the hydroxychloroquine had, which was, the heart conditions and all that stuff. So Fauci seemed very, very excited about it, and he seemed like it could really help out a lot. Even he said, even if it helped 30% of the cases, that's still a huge number.
Massive.
So that was the big news.
It looks like it's a treatment typically for Ebola, and I don't know what the Marburg virus is, but
I think they also treated MERS with it too, I read today. So it's an antiviral. That's the thing that they're doing. Not only are they trying to find a vaccine, and that was announced today too, Operation Warp Speed, where they're working with multiple private companies and the government and everything else. They have this task force, Operation Warp Speed, to try to get a vaccine by the end of the year. That's the goal. I know we had the scientist from Oxford University in England said she's pretty confident they could have one by September, October. The problem is producing like 300 million, doses for America, that takes a lot of work, to develop that much of it. Once you find it and you approve it, Now you have to distribute it, create, you know, you gotta get it out there. So I don't know. If we got it by the end of the year, I'd be pretty happy with that. If we had a vaccine by the end of the year.
Do you think that it should be mandated, like that, as compulsory to take?
I don't know. It's hard to tell a free nation they have to take a medication.
I mean, we do it with kids, you know?
I know. I know.
If you want to go to a public school, you have to take whatever, yeah. Hepatitis, that series,
but,
a bunch of other stuff.
But the thing is like, if you take it, like, if you take it voluntarily and somebody else doesn't, you know, then you should be safe.
Yeah, because you're vaccinated.
Yeah, right. They're the ones that are unsafe.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
So I don't know. Well,
I just don't understand how the vaccine would work because viruses mutate so often. Like, uh-huh. I was reading an article, I think it was earlier this week, where it's already mutated 30 times already, the coronavirus.
Well, much like the flu, they change that up every year, so I imagine it would probably be the same.
And these write-ups are, they're written by so many different people from, like we said, so many different angles. I'm going to leave it up to the smart people. If they make a vaccine and they say it works, I'm taking the damn thing. And if they have to create another vaccine for a mutated form of it.
Even flu vaccines now, they're only a certain percentage effective because I think they have to, like, figure out
it's how, like, it's kind of a lot of guesswork.
Yeah, so it could be like 30% effective this year.
Yeah,
or
it changes every year. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why they change it, because like you said, it evolves and mutates, it changes, and so there's a lot of guesswork in terms of like how it will be in the upcoming flu season.
Right. Either way, we got to do, like, we got to get back, you know, eventually. I don't want to live this way forever. You know, like, this is crazy. Like, nobody wants to.
I know, but I'm glad that at least things are starting to open back up.
Like,
there's a light. The light is here. You know what I mean? It's going to be slow, but at least some things are moving.
And look, and that's the thing about doing it methodically is if things start spiking, you pull back. You know, you go, okay, all right, we tried. We gotta tighten it back up. But hopefully it won't, and I'm very confident, and this isn't because I have some educated opinion. I just have a gut feeling, and my gut's as big as any scientist's brain. I have a gut feeling that this is going to work out. That phase one will be fine. I mean, people are dying, and they're going to continue to die, and it's sad. And you're stupid if you think that staying under a stay-at-home order is going to prevent death. People are still dying, all right? It's happening, whether we stay at home or not.
Right.
It's just you don't want to see a surge under these phases. And as long as it doesn't show, like, a spike, you know, then continue phase one and go to phase two. And I like the plan. I really do. So let's see what happens.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I'm concerned about it, you know, and I think everybody is out there, some more than others.
Right.
It tends to go down political lines where you sit, because the line has been drawn in the sand where it's either, if you want to stay closed, you're on the D team, and if you want to reopen now, you're on the R team. And I said from the beginning, I think it's somewhere in the middle where you open up slowly. I think this is the right move. I mean, do you want to starve or do you want to die by the virus? You're dead either way.
Yes.
You know? So there has to be some sort of
middle ground.
Yeah, some sort of cost benefit analysis where, you know, people are going to die.
Yeah.
Regardless of.
Preach.
Yeah. Whether it's starving or from not having money or the virus. So we just got to figure out what's less.
It's hard to talk logically without sounding like a crazy person.
You're like, you're not compassionate. Because people will throw that at you like, one death is too many.
Son of a bitch.
One death is too many.
But you know, and I was talking about this with you guys off the air earlier, and it's hard to even get your point across, or you have to tiptoe around it and walk on eggshells the way you say things, because you don't want to sound like an insensitive prick. But it's like they're going, there's all these deaths are happening, COVID-19, these deaths where we've lost more people this year than we lost in the Vietnam War.
Right.
And using those kind of numbers and taking like an example like the Vietnam War, really.
Well, that's an emotional tug.
It's impactful.
Yeah.
Yeah, you hear that and you go, oh my God, I saw Full Metal Jacket. It's crazy. But then I'm like, are we going to do this with everything?
But like some flu seasons kill more.
Well, that's what
I'm
saying.
You know what I mean? Like there's some. They said the video with the two doctors that was taken down. They said anywhere. I think the numbers were 37 to like 60 is like where how many people die of the flu every year.
We've known
roughly.
That the whole time because that was pointed out before the pandemic started when it was just at the beginning. And anybody that pointed that out was an asshole. They were like, oh, well, you're just cheapening this disease. And it's like, well, no, that's an actual number.
It's just a data right on the mat. And that appeal to emotion is a fallacy. It's not an argument. It's just,
well, that's my argument, too. Are we going to count everything? And I don't agree with these people that say, what about cigarette smoking? And what about, because those are, you choose to smoke. You choose to live an unhealthy lifestyle. And that attributes to heart disease. I'm pointing at me. You know, I don't have heart disease, but I'm trying. And these are things that you choose, right? Where coronavirus, you don't choose. I mean, yes, you could take precautions.
More risk, but at the end of the day, sometimes it's just inevitable.
Right. My point is, are we going to point out everybody that dies every day from everything for the rest of time? Mm-hmm. Because we don't do that. I mean, yes, there's a small obituary section in your paper if you still get a physical newspaper, you weirdo. But are we going to do that for oh, boy. Cigarettes, cancer deaths are up this week. You know, last week we had a surge, but it went down the week before. Now it seems like 800 more people died. Head injuries are up this week, guys. Four people fell down and busted their head and died. I mean, I get it. COVID-19 is a big deal and we got to get through it, but we also got to figure out a way to get past it and we got to figure out a way to live with it. And we can't be scared to death of everything around us all the time.
You can't legislate not dying.
I know.
Like, government can't stop you from not dying.
I know. That's my point. It's crazy. And I tweeted out something today, and it was a joke, but there was some truth behind it. Because I was eating the cheese grits, right? And the tweet, you know, basically said, if I die during this pandemic, do not let them claim COVID-19 on my death certificate. Instead, put a cheese emoji right there. Because that's probably what will kill me because I'm sitting at home eating like a jerk off. And I feel like everybody that dies right now, it's COVID-19. Or we assume it until somebody tells us it's not. Every time a celebrity dies now, the Indian guy that was in Slumdog Millionaire died yesterday.
The main dude?
The dad, he's 53 years old. He died yesterday. He's a big Bollywood guy. And immediately I was like, oh, COVID-19.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Nope.
Every time somebody dies.
Everybody dies. You think it's COVID-19. Yeah. It's crazy. It's been like just pounded in our brains that everybody that dies right now is COVID-19.
Sure, especially if they're old and it's like, no, they were just old. That's what old people do. They die. Yeah.
And it's like, man, I want to work on getting back to thinking normally again. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, and I was watching the news today, and they were just saying some stuff about how it's such an interesting time because usually when people get sick and stuff, you quarantine the sick people.
Yeah.
But when you start quarantining everybody, it changes the whole game, obviously.
And look, the argument on both sides, people make points on both sides, and it depends on what side you're on politically, whether you think you're right or wrong. But we're all pretty moderate here and we're free thinkers.
Yeah.
I like to feel that way about all of us. I think we're like-minded in a lot of ways. But I don't like politics being in this at all. Like, I hate the fact that this is being politicized.
It is.
It sucks. I'm looking at, like, you know, I got my Facebook page up right now because, you know, I like to have my hand on the pulse of everybody that's listening and everything else. But it's like, all my friends that are super left, who I still love, you know, I don't like to involve my politics
then
with my friendship.
Tell them not to go out if they don't want to. You know,
right.
You don't have to go out. I understand that, you know, they feel like it puts them more at risk and stuff like that, but then don't go out. No one is forcing you to open your business.
Yeah.
No one's forcing you to go out and have a drink or go to a restaurant. Don't do it if you don't want to.
Well, I'm looking at a cartoon, you know, that a political artist made that's posted on one of my friend's walls, and it shows people holding up signs saying free America. One person says, I need a haircut. Another person's holding a sign that says, this is a hoax. And then in front of them, it's this little nurse, and she's very sad. And she goes, I'll see you guys real soon in the cartoon. I'm like, Jesus Christ, man. Like, my girlfriend's a nurse, all right? She's at work right now taking care of people. You know, it's like, I have all the compassion in the world. You know, I see these commercials where, you know, the cops are, you know, making hearts out of their police cars outside the hospital. I get misty-eyed, you know, because I do feel like these people are heroes. I feel like that year-round, but more than ever now.
But when are you going to, like, you're going to just wait, like, 5 years, like, until this virus is completely gone? It's never going to be completely gone.
It's going to take a while. Yeah,
right. So it's like you got to start opening some stuff up a little bit. And if it's really not going to make that much of a difference, and if the sick people stay quarantined, then hopefully we can still kind of have it under control. Much like you said, if we see it takes a downturn, then we scale it back a bit.
Well, it's kind of like if there was like these movies, like these zombie movies, apocalyptic movies or whatever, and everybody's kind of hunkered down, and then, you know, there's nothing moving outside. But after, you know, so long, they go out to see what's going on. You know, they go, hey, let's go into, like on The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
They go, let's go and see what's happening downtown. They walk downtown, zombies come out, they go, oh, son of a bitch, and they run back to their cabin.
Right.
But at some point, we got to step out of the house and test things and see if we're,
and
you know.
It's just phase one.
Yeah.
It's just phase one.
Yeah. We're not going to a football game tomorrow, but goddamn, I don't want to go to one in October. I want to go to one in October.